Number two, and we've been preaching, started preaching some months ago through the gospel according to Mark, and we're ready to take on a couple more verses.
The Lord to help us. I really thought we'd deal with four or five verses, but I'm just going to keep us to two verses this morning, mainly just one, and we'll get you out of here quick, let you enjoy your time with your mamas today and you mothers with your children. But it is important we get a word from the Lord today. And so let's just kind of settle in for at least a few moments and we'll give you the thought the Lord's laid on our heart. We're in verse number 13 now, and I want to read two verses. The Bible said, "And he went forth again by the seaside. And all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them." Verse 14 is the verse we really want to settle in on. "And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us now as we try to preach the word of God. Open hearts and ears and minds. May the light of the gospel shine in some sinner's heart. Lord, I pray those of us that are already saved, born again of the grace of God, Lord, would be stirred in our soul again over what Jesus has done. Lord, may we understand that, Lord, the day we got saved was the day we began to follow Christ. Lord, may we never sit down. May we never turn to the left or the right. And dear God, may we never go backwards. May we always follow Him. And we'll thank you for all that you do in sinner and saint alike. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. We've been studying the life of the Lord Jesus now for a chapter and a half, and one thing is clear. The Lord is being very effective in the day in which He was ministering and preaching and laboring among the crowd. So effective He was, His word began to spread, that again we find in verse number 13 that there are multitudes that are resorting unto Him. Thank God He's always been seen as being a Savior that is on the move. One preacher made observation about the life of the Lord Jesus through the gospel according to Mark, that Christ is always on the move. There's no grass growing under His feet. He's not a slothful Savior. He's busy about His Father's business, and in doing so, there are people that need help. There are people that need reach. There are multitudes that need the message and the ministry He has come to give. And as He is laboring and ministering and going about the life His Father has sent Him to do, the crowds are beginning to be drawn to Him. Brother Tim, in teaching this morning, made mention of how many times the Word of God speaks to the multitudes, the hundreds and even thousands at a time, and would come simply to follow the Lord and to go where He was, to sit at His feet, and to observe and see what He's going to do next, to hear what He was going to say next. And there was this great interest in what He was going to do and what He was going to say. And this morning in the text in which we've read, we find that this is the case. He went forth again by the seaside. He's on the move. He's a Savior in action. He's a Savior that a man has ministered in one place, but now He's being led and drawn to another. And in doing so, He continues to preach. He continues to minister. He continues to have an impact upon His generation. But I'm glad that in the two verses we read, one of the truths that we find is that the Lord was not only interested in the multitudes, the Lord was interested in a man. And I'm glad today the Lord loved the world and loves the world, and He loves everybody that is in the world. He is invested today in the giving of His own Son and the sacrifice that was made in obtaining a propitiation for our sin, not for ours only, John the Beloved said, but for the sin of the whole world. And so the Savior is interested in the world, Dad. And we remember hearing that myself as a little boy in Sunday school that, amen, God so loved the world and He wanted to see the whole world saved, Dad. And I could kind of comprehend that at large and in general terms. What we find in verse number 14 is that it's not about the multitudes, but it's about one man. And I'm thankful today. God, yes, He loves the world, but amen, greater still, a greater truth still, amen, is that He loves us each one by one and individuals. Amen. Today, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, amen, should come to repentance. And so while He's ministering to the multitudes, why, there are great crowds that are thronging Him and being drawn to Him, He Himself is drawn to one individual by the name of Levi. We find in this account is mentioned in three out of the four gospel accounts. Matthew 9:9, Luke 5:27 record the same verse in the same instance and the same individual with the same Savior, the same command, the same call, and the same invitation and response. Amen. From this man, Levi, you'll find in Matthew's account, Matthew 9:9, and Levi and Matthew are one and the same individual. And you'll see this throughout the Lord's ministry that several of His disciples were known by multiple names. Simon was one of those men we read about. Simon and Andrew, his brother, in Mark chapter number 1. But Simon would go by another name, the name Peter. That's how we know him most commonly. And so it wasn't odd or strange in that day that men would have maybe several names, kind of like our culture in East Tennessee in the redneck place we live. Amen. Your name may be, I don't know if we got any Phils, so I'll use Phil. Amen. Your mama given name may be Philip. Amen. But your friends may call you Coondog, all right? And so there are different ways that, amen, they would be called, different names if they would be given. There's no contradiction. Matthew and Levi are the same names. One is maybe a Greek name and the other is Hebrew name. And yet they're one in the same person. I'm thankful for verse number 14. Again, it reads, "And as He passed by, He, that is Christ, saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And the Bible said, he arose and followed him." And so there is a matter between the Savior and this sinner man. Amen. Between the Lord and Levi, between the Master and Matthew. When we consider this, Christ has passed by His way, and Christ is interested in Him as an individual, as a person. He comes to Him personally to call Him and to invite Him into, amen, His inner circle, into His family, into the grace of God and salvation, invites Him to repent of his sin and of the way that he has been living, and to fall in line with the Savior and live his life, amen, in those very footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I'm interested for our thought in the response that that Levi makes, and we'll use this. And when I give this to you, if you're here for Sunday school, you're going to, amen, you're going to think that there's been a collaboration, but really there's not. And Brother Tim tightened the screws down today, and I don't want to loosen those screws. I'm going to look at this maybe from, amen, from the starting line, if you will, amen, this morning. The Bible said in our text, and he arose and followed him. Would you hold your place there? Look with me in Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. Look what the Spirit of the Lord had to say through the hand and pen of Luke concerning this meeting between Matthew and the Master. Bible said, Matthew 5:27, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting in the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. Look at verse 28. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. The Bible said that in following him, Levi left it all behind. And so I want to preach for a moment on this character and his meeting with the Lord. Amen. On this thought, the day Levi left it all. The day Levi left it all. Amen. I'm thankful for verse number 14 in Mark 2, for it reminds me of the day Jesus passed by my way. It reminds me of the day that Jesus seen me in my condition. It reminds me of the day that the call, that sovereign call, that, amen, very personal call, that saving call, amen, rang out to my heart and to my life. Amen. And it reminds me of the day that, amen, though I was religious, though I was in the so-called right family, yet, and my friend looked like everything was going, amen, good in my life, had the world by the tail, and my friend life was going to be wonderful, amen, that Jesus came into my world and interrupted my plans and interrupted my life and called me out of sin. Amen. And in that moment of time, listen, all I can tell you how it was for me and how it lines up with the Word of God. Amen. That in the moment of that call and response that I made to that call, amen, there was in my heart a determination, amen, that I am leaving it all behind. Amen. To fall in line with the one who has come to save me and be the Lord of my life. Amen. There was no holding anything back. Amen. Listen, when I got saved, God got all of me. And I understand there's a measure of growth since you get saved. Amen. But in that moment of salvation, if you've left it all there, amen, as you grow, there'll be nothing stand between you and the Lord. Amen. You'll gladly continue in your discipleship and in your growth for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Amen. Somebody would say, well, amen, this is not salvation. Amen. But you'll have to argue with the Lord Jesus in verse 17. Amen. When he was speaking in the very house and the one he saved, we'll look at it last week. Amen. And the Pharisees had gotten all upset about, amen, Christ having anything to do with publicans and sinners. And my friend, he looked at them and said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so there is, my friend, an element of this, amen, that hits on the message of the gospel and of salvation, that I'm afraid oftentimes is left out, amen, in our presentation of the gospel in these days. Amen. And I understand what the gospel is. You ain't got to come instruct me. Amen. I know it is the message that Christ, amen, died according to Scripture, was buried and raised again the third day according to Scripture. Amen. But I'm telling you, we've watered it down, amen, to the point that sinners think, amen, I can get me a little fire insurance out of hell. Amen. I can get me a little bit of religion and I'll be okay. Amen. I can still hang on to this and hang on to that. Amen. Live my life the way that I want to live it. Amen. I think there's a wonderful illustration in the conversion and the call of this man Levi. Amen. That testifies, my friend, of the demands of the gospel. Amen. This is not works for, amen, only those that are regenerated by the grace of God can do this. Amen. Only those that have received the, amen, the converting power of the Holy Ghost into their life, amen, can leave it all and say, I will gladly follow him that has come to where I am, and I will give him my all and live my life for his honor and glory. Amen. Today, I'm not offering you fire insurance. If you're lost today, Amen. We're not offering you a certificate. Amen. That talks about a day you want the outlet. Amen. Shook a preacher's hand or joined the church or were baptized. Amen. Oh, but I'm offering you something today. Amen. In the illustration of verse number 14. Amen. That if we can see some things today and acknowledge some things today, and maybe there'd be another sinner saved. Amen. I'm sick of my life. I'm tired of the sin. I'm tired of the emptiness. I'm tired of calling the shots. I'm tired, amen, of making my own decisions. Amen. Friend, come to the realization, amen, that if you, my friend, will leave it all and come to Jesus, amen, He can change your life for His honor and His glory. The day Levi left it all, number one, amen, quickly, I got to hurry. Notice with me the reputation of Levi. Amen, the reputation Levi. Amen, we've read it now. It's in our text that he was sitting at the receipt of custom. When I read to you Luke's account, it plainly called him a publican. Amen, and I was sharing with my boys riding down the road yesterday, amen, about the matter that is at hand is publicans and sinners. Amen, we don't call them publicans and sinners today. Amen, we call them Republicans and Democrats. Somebody say amen. Amen. You say why? Because they're all a bunch of heathens and sinners. Somebody run a lap around the building now. Amen. And so a publican, you say, preacher, what is a publican in the days of Christ? They were they who collected taxes and for the Roman government. Amen. Levi is sitting in the region of Capernaum. Amen. There's not very much said about him in verse number 14. Amen. But may I draw several observations, amen, quickly about the reputation of this man. Amen. Number one, consider he was a sellout. He was a sellout. A publican was a Jewish man. That was working for the Roman government against other Jews in the region. And so Levi being a publican, being an IRS agent, amen, he was a sellout. Amen, he was a traitor to his generation. Amen, oh, my friend, he was a sellout. Amen, he was a swindler. Amen, these tax collectors known as publicans, amen, Jews working for the Roman government against the other Jews, they were known to demand excessive fees to pad their own pockets. There would be a quota the Roman government would have given to Levi and said, we demand so much to be given back to the government. And then they would permit them to make more money, amen, by charging above that, and whatever was above the quota, that publican would get to pocket and line his own bank accounts. And they were known as swindlers. They were known as cheats and thieves and liars. And my friend, I'm talking about the worst kind of individuals you can imagine. And so Levi was one of these publicans, and as such, he was a sellout. He was a swindler. And I say he was scorned. The Jewish communities in which these publicans live, they despise tax collectors. Amen. Just like you and I, our hearts sink. Amen. And there's a raging within ourselves. Amen. When you get that white envelope in the mail with the big clear window and it says, amen, Internal Revenue Service. Amen. And it'll send you into anxiety. It, amen, will make you lose your mind. You ain't even opened it yet. Amen. Because you know probably, amen, there's a 99% chance they ain't sent you money. They are wanting more money out of your pockets. Amen. And they were scorned. They were despised among the Jewish community. Amen. They were not permitted to even give their money into the temple. They weren't even permitted to go in. They had been excommunicated from any form of worship. And even though they were Jews, because they were publicans, amen, they were scorned. They were not to be witnesses of any kind in any kind of judicial trial. out. They cannot be called forward because they were known liars. Amen. They were known to spread falsehood. They were known to make up stories. Amen. I read one Jewish custom book. It said about these that were publicans, that among the Jewish culture in Jesus' day, and they were as badly viewed by society as those that had leprosy. They weren't excommunicated into wildernesses, but they might as well have been. Amen. They had then such a scornful view. Amen. Placed a stigma. Amen. Followed them everywhere that they went. And I say, number four, the reputation of this man. Amen. He's not only a sellout and a swindler and scorn, but amen, I believe Levi was just a plain out sinner. Amen. He was a sinner. It's amazing to me. And we'll look at it in detail on next week. But publicans seem to always be connected with sinners. Amen. Look with me in verse number 15. And it came to pass, and as Jesus said at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus. Verse 16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with what? Publicans and sinners. Amen. You are what you run around with. Amen. And the fact that he was a publican, he may have been wealthy. Amen. In fact, we believe that Levi had been so successful at his job as a publican. And my friend, he had a rather large house. He was in rather wealthy means. But at the end of the day, amen, it didn't matter how much money he had. It didn't matter, my friend, how at ease he was in life. It didn't matter what he could go out and buy and pay cash for. Amen. This was a sinner. He was a man that had an emptiness of heart. He was a man that had the darkness of sin on the inside. Amen. He was a sinner. Amen. Levi was who he was and done what he did because he was a sinner. He was a sellout because he was a sinner. He was, my friend, a swindler because he was a sinner. He was a pest and a nuisance and scorned in society because he was a sinner. Amen. Can I say today, amen, I believe that many of us today, amen, can identify with this man Levi. Oh no, we're not IRS agents, but amen, sin has made us miserable creatures. Amen, sin causes us, amen, to sell out, amen, a relationship with God and sell out true religion and sell out the Word of God. Amen, to sell out the things of the Lord. Amen, he was a man, Levi, and had been a sellout, and the sinner that is attached to that. He cared nothing about Jehovah God. Amen. He didn't just sell out his own people. He sold out the faith of Abraham, his father. Amen. He was a sellout. Amen. Calls his a sinner. His a swindler. Calls his a sinner. Amen. You know why folks cheat and lie? Amen. And con and do things behind. Amen. Amen. The backs of others. Amen. Walk in darkness. And in the night, why they swindle their way through life? Because they're sinners. Amen. Amen. And he was scorned because he was a sinner. Can I give you a fifth point here? I don't know that it really belongs here, but amen, it's kind of the only place I know to put it, and I think it'll fit. The Bible said, and as he passed by, he saw Levi. Now notice the Holy Ghost, amen, pays and gives much attention, amen, to this next line, the son of Alphaeus. The Spirit of God has inspired in his word, amen, attention to be paid to who this man Levi's father was. He is the son of Alphaeus. Now, I've tried to do some study on this, and I come across something interesting, and there's a lot of debate back and forth about our theists and do we know anything about it? Amen. It almost would appear to me that when Mark and even Matthew and Luke write about this, that they are writing to people that have made a connection and know who Alphaeus is. When you study Alphaeus' name, you'll find that the name of his father, as is used here, means the same as the name Cleophas. Now, Cleophas is one as a gentleman, a man who is known in the life of the Lord Jesus. Amen. He was married to a woman who was named Mary. And Mary, the wife of Cleophas, amen, was so dedicated to the life of the Lord Jesus that she was of those few women, along with John the Beloved, that in the crucifixion of Christ found her way to the foot of his cross and was eyewitness of the death of the Son of God. And so she was not, amen, she was not some, amen, she was not one of these who didn't count the cost. Amen, she was not of the multitude that turned away. Amen, when Jesus had to ask his 12, amen, where are the multitudes? Where have they all gone? Amen, and will ye also go away? Amen, Cleophas and his wife Mary, amen, had been obviously converted and believers on the Lord Jesus Christ from the early days of his ministry. Amen, I call this point, what I want to talk about his reputation as is found in this verse. Amen, and just bear with me so I can get all this out, amen, as quick as I can, but he was not only a sellout and a swindler and scorned and a sinner, but he was sanctified. He was sanctified. You say, what do you mean? Amen. Now if this is so, and there's a very good likelihood in my study, I won't go through all the reasons, it's a rather lengthy study, but if it's so that Alphaeus and Cleophas are one and the same individual, and Levi is the son of this mother and this father that have been converted to Christ as well, and that friend Levi, amen, Levi is the son of two converts and dedicated followers of Christ. And here's my point about him being sanctified. And Levi, through his parents, was sanctified under the call of Christ. Amen. Because the greatest desire of a parent, amen, is that their children would come to know the Savior as they themselves have come to know the Savior. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, amen, he was sanctified in that sense. Amen. He would have to make a choice. I'm not saying Levi didn't have a choice. We don't believe him. Amen, this patriarchal salvation that, amen, calls your daddy got saved, everybody under him and beyond him is saved. Amen, we don't believe in that. Every sinner has to make a choice. Amen, every Levi has a decision to make. Amen, but can I say, amen, if he had Cleophas, Alphaeus, and Mary as his father and his mother, amen, you reckon that my friend, they went to the master and say, we got this boy, and Lord, he is a publican. And Lord, you know how bad a shape the publicans are in. You know the crowd that he runs with. And Lord, you know all the lies that he's told and all the cheating he's done. You know what a sellout he is. Amen. You know how people view him in life. Lord, you know our boy is a sinner. And maybe they'd say something like this. Lord, you saved us and you rescued us. Would you go down there by way of our boy Levi and see if you can get his attention and call him unto yourself? Amen, I'm telling you, listen. Amen, here's my point. He would have had to make a choice. Amen, but listen, he would never, ever be able to outrun the power of a Christian father and a praying mother. Amen. And maybe I can preach this with more compassion and, amen, emotion today than I've ever been able to preach it before. Amen. But I'm telling you, in Levi, amen, there is a reputation. Amen. That God, my friend, honors the prayers. Amen. Of those parents that have been sold out. Amen. Our children absolutely have a choice. Amen. They must make a personal choice. Amen. They must personally decide. Amen. Who they're going to follow with. Amen. But if they go a route of sin, amen, it don't matter how deep they go down the road. Amen. I'm telling you, they are sanctified in the sense. Amen. They'll never be able, amen, to outlive in sin the faith of mom and dad.
Amen.
Right. Amen. You see, it was just Cleophas and Mary, his wife, that I believe was the ones that was walking that road to Emmaus. They had given all they had to follow the Messiah. Amen. And after his death, it seems that, amen, their hearts are so despondent. Amen, they can't quite figure all this out in their mind. Amen, but as they walk and being discouraged, and they walk talking among themselves about, amen, all that they had seen and how much they missed Jesus, said, amen, what are we going to do now? Amen, Jesus was the one who attached himself to them and came to where they were. Amen. Open the scripture and open their eyes and broke bread with them. I'm telling you, amen, if Alphaeus is Cleophas said, and thus Levi had a mama named Mary, amen, Jesus was invested in this couple.
Amen.
My friend, I'm thankful. Amen. I'm thankful that Christian parents, you say, preacher, I didn't even get saved. Hell, later on in life, I didn't raise my children around the things of the Lord. Amen. The fact that you've come to the Lord, the fact that your life has been converted. Amen. You listen to this preacher. Amen. God, He already cared about them. Amen. But He knows where your babies are. He knows where your grandchildren are. Amen. You keep on praying. You keep living for God. Amen. You stay faithful to the Lord. Amen. I promise you, even when it may not seem like it's working, amen, they are sanctified by the life and the prayers of mom and dad. Amen. Amen. They're not sanctified so that if they don't get saved, amen, they'll bypass hell. My friend, they're sanctified. Does that make sense? Amen. They're sanctified in the sense that, amen, if God saved mom and daddy, He can save them too.
Amen.
Amen. So there's hope. Amen. I don't even know how much interest Levi had. Amen. Can you imagine? Maybe his mom and daddy showed up and said, you ain't gonna believe it, boy. We met the Master. He changed our life. We want you to come and see this man who's preaching a message of repentance and to believe the gospel. And Levi may have said, I ain't got time for any of that. You know, I'm a young man. I've got oats to sow. I've got a life to live. I've got plans made. I don't want to be cramped by all that religious talk. You know that I'm in such a way anyhow that, amen, somebody, if he's as good as you say he is, he won't want anything to do with me, no how. But, amen, I'm telling you, that mom and daddy, if this is right, amen, I believe they kept trying to win him to Christ. Amen, I believe they kept pointing him to the Savior. Amen, he's seen some things. Amen, he's seen some things in mom and dad that, amen, he had to admit it was real, even if he didn't want it real in him. Amen, he's saying that it was real to them.
Amen.
Buddy, I'm telling you, when Jesus came by his way and rung his bell, amen, he learned, my friend, what it is to personally respond to the Lord. Amen, we see the reputation of Levi. Amen, we all, amen, if you're a sinner today, you can identify. Amen, if you're saved today, there was a day. Amen, you can look back and say, yes, I am Levi. Yes, I am Matthew sitting by the seaside. I am the sinner man. I am the scorned man. I'm the one that sold out. I'm the one that was in need of Jesus coming by. Number two, notice with me, I'll call it the reconnaissance of Levi. I like that word. I believe it's implied in the text. Or the Bible said, and as he passed by, he saw Levi.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Can I say again this morning, Christ had multitudes around him, but his path was set upon one sinner in verse number 14. Amen. He's doing reconnaissance work. Amen. He's spying out where this lost son is at. He's spying out where this sinner man, amen, has been sitting. Amen. You remember when Jesus said to his disciples, amen, I must needs go through Samaria. That didn't make a lick of sense, amen, to any of them, but he knew what was waiting by Jacob's well. Amen. And I believe when he walked them banks in the seaside of Capernaum, at Brother Jerry, he had his eyes set. Amen. Upon getting to that one man, Levi. Amen. Oh, he's administering to the multitudes. Amen. But he's doing some reconnaissance work. Amen. He's spying out where this sinner is. Amen. To see what condition. Amen. His life is in to. Amen. To observe. Amen. To observe if he is tendered to the gospel.
Amen.
Reconnaissance. Notice with me, number one, amen, about Christ and his reconnaissance work, the coming of Christ. The Bible said, as he passed by. Oh, make no mistake about it. This was no accidental crossing of paths. You say, how do you know that? Because in relation to the conversion of this man and the party that Levi threw in honor of Christ and the celebration of the day, and he made the choice to follow the Master and leave it all behind. Amen. Here's what Jesus said. Amen. Don't miss it. The end of verse 17. I came. Amen. You know what that means? That means I showed up on purpose. Amen. It was not an accident. Amen. It was not happenstance. Amen. I came to this place. Amen. For this time and at this time. Amen. For this man, there is a personal coming of Christ. And I say, I'm glad for the day Jesus came to me. Amen. Levi was not interested. Amen. Maybe Levi wasn't interested. Maybe Levi, amen, maybe was a little interested, but thought, surely, amen, he'll banish me. Surely he'll have nothing to do with me. Amen. Maybe Levi was not even aware. Amen. But oh, I'm glad Jesus came to where he was. And I'm glad Jesus came to me. I like what the old songwriter said. When I could not go to where Jesus was, he came to me. Amen. You see sinners today. Amen. They may be in their sin and not even be interested. Amen. But I'm glad there's a Savior. Amen. That'll meet them where they are. They will come to where, amen, they're sitting at. Amen. We'll get involved in the life they're living in. Amen. Are y'all listening today? Is there anybody that knows anything about when Jesus came to you? You was minding your own business, had all your plans mapped out. Amen. I remember being 15, 16, 17 years of age. Amen. Listen. Amen. Listen. I had all my plans. Amen. I knew what I was going to do. Amen. I knew the life I wanted to live. Amen. I wasn't thinking about Christ. Amen. I was just going to do my own thing. 17 years of age. You say, how do you know God's real? Because at 17 years of age, He came to me. Amen. It wasn't mom and daddy beating me over the head. Amen. It wasn't a preacher, my friend, screaming in my ear, death. Amen. I'm talking about the glorious, wonderful Savior from glory. He came to me. Yeah. Amen. You can't get me to doubt Him. Amen. He came to me. Yeah. Amen. I know that He come to daddy. I know that He came to mama. Amen. I hear some of y'all talking about He came to you. Amen. Y'all listen, there's a day He came to me.
Yes, sir.
Reconnaissance. Hey. The reconnaissance of Levi Christ came to where he was. Yes, let me say a word quickly about the comprehension of Christ. Notice what the verse said. As he passed by, he saw Levi. The word saw would mean and imply exactly what we think, that he took him into eye view. Literally means he looked him over. Amen. Amen. Y'all do understand Jesus sees as no man can see. Let me say this. Boy, there's a lot I want to say here. I ain't got time to preach all this. He saw Levi, and in seeing him, Christ knew where he was. Christ knew who he was. More important than all of that, Christ knew what he was. Can I say, when Jesus did the reconnaissance work on my life, He knew where I was. He didn't have to get my address off of Google. Somebody say amen. He didn't have to spy me out and, amen, get on social media and look me up and hunt me down. Oh no, He knew where I was. And can I say, He knew who I was? Amen. Oh, He's known me from before the foundation of the world. And if you're a sinner today, He's known you. And He's known you all along. He knows you by name. He knows every hair that's on your head. Amen. He knows everything you've ever ate. He knows everywhere you've ever been. He knows everything you've ever done. Ah, friend, He knows who you are. Death. Amen. The president may not know our name, and the world may not recognize who we are. Death. And Jesus, amen, knows who sinners are. He's passing by one day. Amen. And there's another publican that the Bible said was, amen, this is in the hillbilly version now. Amen. A wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Amen. The King James Bible said is of little stature. And he wanted to see the Lord passing by. So what did he do? Y'all know the story. Climbed up in the sycamore tree. And the Lord's passing by. And Zacchaeus is looking and spying. Amen. Right there from a tree. And as he comes to that, the Lord stops, looks up in the tree and says, Zacchaeus.
Yes.
How'd he know that? Because the Lord knows who sinners are.
Yeah.
Amen. He knows you by name. Amen. It's a wonderful day in my life. Amen. When He called me by name.
Yeah.
Amen. When He called me by name.
Yeah.
Amen. He knew who He was. Thank God He knew what He was.
Right.
You say, but preacher, you already said He was a sellout. You already said He was a swindler. You already said He was a sinner. And you already said He was a terrible individual. He was scorned by society and counted to be as bad or worse than a leper. Jesus knew all that.
Yes, sir.
didn't bother Jesus one little bit. Amen. You see, Jesus looked beyond what He was. Amen. Jesus seen what He was, and He looked beyond what He was. And He seen what grace could do. And He seen what the power of the gospel could do. And He realized what? I have the Spirit of God. Amen. Working in His life that Levi could become. Ain't you glad that though Christ knows what sinners are, that doesn't deter Him from calling them. That's what we'll get into next week. Them Pharisees said, we can't believe He'd have anything to do with publicans and sinners. In fact, there's several times in the life of the Lord you'll hear Pharisees murmur under their breath saying, if He knew what kind of man that was, if He knew what kind of woman that was. Can I tell you He knew?
Yes, sir.
He's always known. He knows.
Amen.
Your mom and daddy may not know even what you are. Amen. You may have such secrets in your life. Amen. Your church and your pastor, amen, may not know what you really are. Amen. You may have a whole nother side to you. Amen. But if you're lost in sin today, I'm telling you, there is nothing hid from His hand. He knows where you are. He knows who you are. He knows what you are. And yet He still loves you like you are. Jesus said, I know what He was. I know He was a publican and a sinner. I didn't come because I wanted something to do with you righteous people. Now he ain't justifying them. He's saying, in your eyes you think you're righteous, and because you think you're righteous you don't need a physician. But some of them know what they are. Hey, some of them sprinkled out through Capernaum. Hey, some of these publicans and sinners had a pillow their head at night and they're empty. They live their life and they're living in their sin with all their secrets. And yet on the inside they're empty and they're guilty. And they're up and they're down and they don't know. They don't know what they're going to do. All they're doing is what they know to do.
Yes.
Jesus said, I know they're sick. I know that they don't view themselves as righteous, and all I've got to do is go by their way, amen, and reveal to them, amen, that I see where, who, and what they are.
Right. Amen.
Notice the call. The call is simple. Follow me. There's no invitation. Raise your hand if you want to be saved. There's no invitation to shake Jesus' hand. There's no presentation of a watered down gospel. It's simply this. Levi, if you are tired of your sin. Levi, if you're weary from all the sleepless nights. Levi, I know what you are. I know what is in you. Levi, if you're sick of all that, all you got to do is, in repentance and faith, follow me.
Amen.
Follow me. And I say today, the invitation to salvation, again, is not fire insurance out of hell.
Right.
It involves a changed life.
Amen.
Involves a new following. It involves a life lived by a different set of convictions.
All right. Yes. Amen.
Jesus saved me as the day I began to follow Him.
Yes,
but Tim, I ain't always followed Him as I should, but I've always followed Him. There have been some times I turned to the right a little bit more than I should have. And there's been some times I veered off to the left. A lot further than I should have. Somehow, Brother Larry, the Lord gets me back on track and keeps me in the path following Him.
Amen.
Can I say I thank God for the day He called me? Thank God for the day He called me into a brand new life. He called me into a brand new path. He called me into a brand new direction. It called me into the way that is straight and narrow, the gate that is called straight and the way that is called narrow. Amen. You say, preacher. Amen, preacher. Amen, is it worth it? Have you heard the call? Is it worth it? I want to say today, it's worth it. Amen. You can get your eyes on this world and they mock those who follow Christ. They're they of our own friends and our own family that mock us for simply trying to live a life of following the one that saved us. Levi left it all behind. Hallelujah. Amen. Levi said, I'm done living for myself. I'm done lining my own pocket, Chet. I'm done living for money and living. Amen. Living for the things that are in this world, Chet. Amen. And when he began to follow Jesus, there was the sense the Spirit of God said, put it down. He left all. Followed him. And I say, number three, this morning, as we're into our thought, the response of Levi, we see the reputation and the reconnaissance that brought us to the very call of Christ into his life. Notice with me the response of Levi quickly. The Bible said, Jesus said unto him, follow me. There are six words that are used to tell the response of Levi. And he arose and followed him. Not 6 months to get it all together, six words to say. He responded. He realized what he was. Hallelujah. He got sick of what he was. He had heard about the Savior. He had seen the change that Jesus could make in people's lives. So when the call came to him, he made a response. Number one in the text, it was a rapid response. He did not delay. He did not put it off. He did not wait. Amen. For another opportunity, today was the day. Amen. Now was the time. While he's passing by, while he has came to where I am, while he is calling me by name, while he is interested in loving on me in this moment, now is the time I must respond. Was a rapid response. May I say, amen. Number two, it was a repentant response. And he arose. He's been sitting. There's already a change happening in his situation. Amen. He's gone now from sitting in his sin. And now the power of Christ's call, amen, has him on an upward trajectory. And he arose and followed him.
Amen.
Upward and forward. The Bible did not say that he got up and went back home. The Bible does not say that he left where he was and went back to, amen, his place of employment to give them their report. Oh no, it was a repentant response. He arose and followed him. He's turning his back on everything. Amen. He's turning his back on everything that he was, on everything that he stood. Amen. Can I say that is the right response? If the Lord would call you to, amen, salvation and to follow him, amen, that is the right response. Repent of what you are. Turn from your direction. Side with Jesus against yourself.
Amen.
That's what repentance is. That is the response that a man must be had if a sinner is going to be made a saint. If a lost Levite is going to be a found Levite, Amen. If he's going to be found in grace, there must be a repentant response. He must arise back. Amen. The power and the call that has been given to him. And he must, my friend, repent. Amen. And that repentance means he is going to follow his Savior. Have you begun to repent? Amen. Have you repented? Have you arisen? Have you turned you back on your old life? Amen. There are certain venues. I want to be careful because we're not the standard. We ought to be seeing more people saved than we are. Some of that's just the days we're living in, but I refuse to live in that excuse. There's a lot of it. We don't have burdens for sinners like we ought to. So I'm not throwing stones. I'm not throwing stones, but there are certain venues of churches today. They will so water down the gospel that they will see droves of people walk to the front of the church and raise their hand and say they've said a profession, and they will pronounce them saved. And then they'll tell them something like this: "Well, you're saved now. Down the road somewhere, you need to start following the Lord." You cannot show that in the Word of God. For repentance changes the whole heart of man. I'm not saying there's not going to be struggles. I'm not saying that you're going to understand everything. Listen, I've been saved 25 years. There's things I still don't understand. You say, "Well, you still following him?" You better believe I am, because when I got saved, I gave him all.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's a repentant response. Can I say, number three, I love this point. It was a reasonable response.
Amen.
But Jack, it was just reasonable. Here's the one that came to bleed and die and give his life, be buried and raised again for the salvation of this wretched man in society. And now the Savior's come by and he just simply says, "It's time to quit following yourself and the whims of the government and the world. Follow me." That was just a reasonable response. He arose, followed him. This world's so messed up that they think that is an unreasonable request, that Christ would offer them salvation and a changed life. And they say, "Well, I want that. I don't want to go to hell. But you know, that following him business, I'm not interested in that." Do you know who's being unreasonable in that moment? You. You can like it or lump it. Jesus ain't changing the rules for you. You take him and you leave it all and repent of your sin and respond to him when he calls. And it is a reasonable response to say, "Lord, I want to follow you. If you are Savior and you are my Lord, I will gladly follow you. Lord, I don't understand it all. Lord, I need you to teach me. I need you to grow me. Lord, I'm not always going to be perfect." Listen, I'm not preaching perfection, but there ought to be a reasonable response in every individual that claims salvation. It is just a reasonable response to say, "I ain't scratched out any lines. He has right to tell me anything. He has right to change anything about me. Even after 25 years of being saved, I have a blank canvas saying, 'Lord, anything you want to do.'"
Yes,
sir. It's reasonable. Levi left it all. For what? John, that's a good question. For what? Why? Levi left it all? Preacher, for what? He left it all to follow Jesus. He left it all to have some knowledge of the Son of God. He left it all for the spiritual truths that will ultimately be the only thing that matters in eternity. He left it all. Preacher, was it worth it? Let me say this about Levi or Matthew. He's one of the 12. The Lord had multitudes and crowds, and you know there are different segments of that multitude. You've got the multitudes, you've got the 70 that is mentioned at one point, and of the 70 you have 12, and then of the 12 you have the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and of the inner circle there's even the disciple who is the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loves. That's how he's referenced, John the Beloved, who has the most intimate relationship with the Lord. Levi is counted to be one of the 12. When you study Levi, here's what I think you'll find. He was not the most gifted preacher of the bunch. I can't see, Brother Bob, where when I study Levi's life, that he had the most outstanding personality. In fact, Levi seems to be doing just what the Lord has told him to do. He don't stand out much other than you see the 12 and you go, well, there's one of the 12, but of the 12, there's not a whole lot you look at and are blown away with. You say, well, what was it worth it then? You do understand when you leave the pages of the Old Testament and the years of silence, there is no word from God whatsoever for over, was it 400 years, 600 years of nothing. And when God begins to speak, God begins to canonize, God begins to compile the New Testament of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost preserved the Word of God as such that it is this very man who gets to introduce people through the Gospel according to Matthew as the most glorious King. Is it worth it? Believe Levi would say, I'd have never dreamed he'd take somebody like me and all the sin I had. And even in following him, I wasn't that dynamic. I wasn't that impressive. But I just kept following him and I kept going where he led and I kept doing what he said to do. Now he's used my life to be able to tell the entire world what a glorious King, a glorious Savior he is. And I say, when you get saved, if you'll make up your mind, I'm leaving it all, you just begin to follow the Lord. He ain't expecting you to be the most dynamic. He ain't expecting you to be the most impressive of Christians. He ain't expecting you to be perfect and have it all nailed down. He's just expecting you to have a heart that moves your feet in a direction that is constantly striving to follow Him. Amen. And if you'll do that, you don't have to be the next preacher. You don't have to be the next adult Sunday school teacher, the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. All you have to do is follow Him and be what He is making you to be.
Yes, sir.
And it is a simple, Brother Larry, it is the simple following of Christ that He takes our life and lets us reveal to a world around us that He is a glorious King and Savior. Are you following Him? Have you ever begun to follow Him? Amen. Have you ever bowed your knee and upon getting up, arising, leaving it all, so you can be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Good.
Amen. Let's stand together.